is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Dell V2, or 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here and hang with us. What a game last night that was.
Stop.
That was awesome.
Is it panic time?
It's not. They've lost two in a row now.
Not on Astros, on Fromber. Because Fromber Valdez was the starting pitcher. He goes six innings, which is what Fromber does. But once again, he gives up four runs, three walks. He had six strikeouts. It's like his stat line looks the same almost every game now.
Yeah, that very, very second similar. Inning was. But again, he blows up. It's looking a lot like Lance McCullers was looking for a while. Mm-hmm. He blows up one inning, and then he looks really good. And so you don't know what the hell, how for Fromber, which Fromber is it? The John, second inning Fromber or the other
what is it?
A 5 2/3?
Yeah, that's an easy answer. What is it that we talked about that made Fromber so much better last year? Why did we think he was so much better last year?
Because he was throwing strikes.
Yeah, but what happened in the offseason that we thought really helped?
The psychologist.
Yeah, he's pitching like a guy who is letting the moment get to him from time to time.
Yeah.
I mean, the walks have come back. You get the feeling he's doubting himself. He has a loss of confidence. I don't want to belabor this point, but this is what when we talked about Simone Biles, this is one of the things we talked about that, and I understand it's different with flying through the air and doing gymnastics, but we talked about the fact that in sports, you know, just because it's a, I don't know if it's a female athlete or it's an Olympian where no one wanted, like you weren't allowed to have any kind of criticism. No one, I wasn't calling her a coward. I wasn't, you know, those people doing that stuff so far over the top, it was embarrassing. But what we did talk about is, you know, sometimes athletes get into spaces mentally where they really struggle with their confidence. And they can't, on the team sport, you can't just shut it down because you're just not right mentally. I'll be honest. I think, look at this. We're on a Spanish station and they're doing a piece on Esteban Loaiza. Remember him? He went to prison. I'm ADD, so I can't see stuff like this on the screen and not comment.
Okay.
Remember him? Yeah. Dodgers pitcher?
Yeah.
Went to prison for something like selling drugs. And I guess they're doing a piece on him getting out and getting back into society. But back to Biles, you know, it's the whole point that at least I was talking about, and I think John too, is, you know, a guy like Fromber Valdez, who has had issues in the past and went to a sports psychologist, I think it's fair to say Lance McCullers, who we've seen have issues in single innings. I think Fromber right now is in a bad mental space relative to where he was last year. He all of a sudden can't throw strikes as consistently as he did. The walk total has gotten out of control relative to what he did last year. He's blowing up in single innings, and I think he's lost his confidence, and he's not the same guy. He's not going to shut it down, you know, on his team. But I'm just telling you, I think that Fromber right now, mentally, from a mental standpoint, since early June, this is now a long. Go look at his box scores.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a while.
Well, which
now.
Is the okay? So, which one is really the true Fromber? What we saw in the postseason last year, and for over a 60. Now, don't forget, that was a 60 game schedule last year,
right?
Which is a small sample size. Or what we've seen from the rest of Fromber for the rest of his career?
I think that's a tricky question because I think the real Fromber is the best Fromber, but it's how do you get to it? How do you get to it and how do you sustain it? And so the bigger sample size is the one that's inconsistent.
That's right.
That Fromber is the greater sample size. However, we always talk about in scouting, you always say, what does this guy have the ability to do? Because that's what he's capable of doing. Fromber has the ability to be a number one starter in baseball. We saw it last year in the postseason where there's lots of pressure. There's lots of pressure in the postseason. Not only did he not bend under that pressure, he thrived under that pressure. So he clearly has that opportunity to do that. Is there something going on from a mechanic standpoint? That's for Strami to figure out, the greatest pitching coach that's ever lived.
Right.
That's for Brent Strami to figure out. But
he's not a psychologist.
But you're losing to the Twins. No, he's not a psychologist.
Well, but did you see the lineup he threw out there yesterday, though?
Who?
Pawpaw.
Pawpaw, it's not great.
And no, you know, not great.
You got Robel jumping up to catch what should have been a good leaping catch.
You got Maldonado at first, and well, if Yuli was healthy, Yuli would have maybe would have had that ball, but there's no chance Maldonado gets that ball.
No.
But Maldonado at first, Robel
at
short.
Yeah. You had, I mean, McCormick is going to be starting in the center. That's,
he had two hits. He was fine.
That is what it is. But regardless of the lineup, and then, yeah, and they got the big bomb from Yordan.
Late.
Murdered. He golfed one out that was 12 rows deep in the upper deck. It was unbelievable. It made a 5-3, and then you got a man on, and you said, oh, here we go. Maybe you got a shot. And then it was like, oh, it's Maldonado.
Yeah.
With a man on base. But back to the Fromber, though. John, this is 4 earned runs in 6 innings against the Twins. I mean, no offense, but this is a concern for me, because how do you match up against the other team's best pitchers? Like, who are you hoping? Greinke's good Greinke? Or are you Lance McCullers, who right now is the best pitcher on the staff? I guess, are you matching up Lance, you know, are you leaning on Lance McCullers? I'm not sure right now if you had to just rank them. I mean, it's definitely not Odorizzi. Garcia has not quite been the same. I guess Fromber gets the start inside the top three, but my confidence level has really gone down.
Well,
on Fromber.
You've got almost 2 months now to figure this out, though. So if Fromber doesn't pick it up, then he's not going to be one of
those.
That's
almost guys. How long Fromber's not been the same pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. You got some time to figure this out, but as of right now, Fromber is not that guy. He's certainly not the guy that we saw last year in the postseason that was ace potential. He's gotten back to Fromber that it doesn't have that same confidence. There's walking guys, too many walks, too many hits. He's not striking out guys like he was before, although 7 strikeouts last night wasn't bad.
But that one inning,
yeah. Goodness gracious, you gotta make a pitch to get out of that inning. And he just couldn't make it. He just couldn't get the job done. And 4 runs, and with this lineup, you know, from Diaz all the way to Altuve, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 1. You got one hit out of those 6 guys.
Oh my God, look at this. So Fromber in June, now remember the back half of June, he had a couple shaky starts. He had he was 214 batting average against, 31 strikeouts to 7 walks. Okay. Well, okay, May and June, up to that point, there was only one game started. He had a total of 35 strikeouts and 9 walks. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
In July, 31 strikeouts, 24 walks.
No, that's no good.
He's not even close to 1.5 to 1. Like, it's in 246 batting average against. He's given up, it's 3 home runs in June, 3 home runs in July. So it's not like the home runs have really been any different. The biggest problem, he gave up 27 hits and 34 and a third innings. This time, 31 hits and 33 and a third. I mean, his stuff just hasn't been as good, but the walks are just killing right now. It's ruined his whip because he keeps allowing people on base. 24 walks and 33 and a third innings in July, and we get into August, and you know, his very first start in August, 4 earned runs. Like, it's. I just thought it's really upsetting because I thought they had a lockdown number one, and it looked so good last year. And what, you know, this is found money. Fromber, Valdez, this is found money. But this is also what's terrifying about it. If this had happened at the wrong time, can you imagine at the end of last year, Fromber had been up? You're giving Fromber money. You're probably looking at a 5-year, 15 or 5-year, $18 million a year deal. You're probably looking at a $100 million deal for Fromber, 5 years, 6 years, yeah, after last year. And then look at this year. And this is how quick you can get stuck in baseball when you're not sure. When you're coming off of a career year, that's how you get stuck. Marwin Gonzalez could have got a fortune after a 2000, was it 17 or 18? He was after 18. But that's the scary thing about baseball is, man, it can go up and down on you so quick. Bellinger, what's happened to Bellinger is incredible. How quick it can fall apart on guys if their mental's not there. It's the one sport, you never see this in football. Guys may physically wear down, but you know, if you're a great wide receiver, you don't all of a sudden go, I don't know, I just lost it. I just can't catch anymore. I just can't get open with my routes anymore. No, those are skill sets that don't go away. Baseball's so mental and golf is so mental. It's the two sports that all of a sudden you can go from great to in trouble. And that's, and Fromber, I don't want to overstate it, but this is a team with World Series aspirations without a true number one. And he was a guy that all the way through June, we're like, yeah, Fromber's a number one. You're in great shape if Fromber's pitching. Now it's like, oh, man, I don't even know if he's a top three guy.
Yeah, no, no, no. Dell just changed it so that you wouldn't be distracted by...
Esteban Loaiza?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And or by Uget
Urbina? Mexican TV, because that can be distracting, especially when they get to the weather.
Yeah.
But net right now, it's Japan that's taking care of business against France for the right to play in the championship game.
Was that
game
person
against,
born in Japan?
You know, I don't know that that person, I don't know.
Is that an army brat or
it's
what
interesting.
Was this?
What would the Juventus women think of Japan getting to the, to the title game against the U.S.?
Why don't you tell us, John, what would they think?
Tell us what they did.
The Juventus women, I didn't even know there was such a thing. This is a thing, Dell?
Yeah, a lot of the major clubs in Europe have a women's team as well. They play in their own version of Super League, where like the Man City women will play a team from France. Yeah, there are major clubs who have women's teams.
What about how did the Euros go? What happened in? Or
no one knows.
No one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's you can't. No one can find.
No
that,
one can
the
find
answer.
That. No.
Who won the? Okay.
The women's Champions League.
Champions League. No one knows.
No one knows.
No one knows. Okay. Well, anyway, apparently one of the women put a cone, you know, one of those cones on her head that looks like a triangle thing, and she put it on her head, and then she yulied her eyes, you know, where she pulled them back, and for whatever reason, this was tweeted out, and
by the official club.
Yeah, not by the club, but by I guess one of the women on the team. Was it the clubs?
Juve soon deleted the tweet after a raft of negative feedback. They tweeted it from their official account.
Their official account put this out. Nice. That's well done, Juventus. Anyway, they had to apologize about it. Somebody screen grabbed it for them.
Well, that's surprising.
Yeah.
You put something on the internet and people save it.
Yeah. So that is odd that somebody would do something like that. But so I think they would. I don't know what they would think of this. The Japanese women advancing against France, because it looks like that's going to happen. So the U.S. women, who have won 7 straight golds, by the way, we keep talking about the men. Why can't we talk about how dominant the women have been?
Well, if they did something to make us mad, like kneel or say they don't want to wear the flag, then we would talk about them. But if they're just going to display excellence, why will we talk about them?
Yeah.
I tell you what, there is a really interesting article.
And patriotism. Why would we want to talk about them?
Not interested.
There was an article. You know what? I think it's fair. We'll get to it on the other side of about Suni Lee and how she said we're doing this for us or for us individually. It was a pretty good article. It was a pretty well thought out opinion piece that was on it was just on like an NBC website, NBC News website. It just popped up in Apple News. And it was about, wasn't patriotism. It was, it really studied how the individualism versus the team. You know, we've seen a strong shift to that over probably the last decade plus, and how, you know, there's some issues with that because the people who support you, you know, are supporting you for one because you represent them, like you are their represent. They want to live through you, and if you basically say you're not part of us, and we're not the same, and we're not doing things the same, you really risk. You really risk long-term fanship or support from an entire group, an entire nation. If the nation in general, and granted, we have 18 billion factions in our nation now, but it was a very interesting article, and I took it because I also think there's something to be learned there about. I think NIL is going to do some of this as well, where it's just all about me, and not the team. We already see it with social media. I think social media has been the number one culprit where here's my brand and it's less about team. That's when you do see team like Milwaukee and Phoenix, frankly. I thought it was very refreshing watching the NBA Finals because even a megastar like Giannis is not really a me, brand type of guy. So I'm going to bring that article up, and I want to get to some of the thoughts and see what you guys think about how it pertains to American sports, because I do think that is a concern where people who cheer for teams are kind of being pushed out.
Yeah, we can do that. And let's get to Simone Biles' return. Actually, she actually a nice welcome back for Simone Biles. And Jonathan Owens, who's a Texan, spoke on it as well. We'll do that as well right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, he was throwing strikes. You know, it seemed like it took us a while to wake up. And, you know, they got him out of there, you know, just in time. And I don't know. You know, he pitched well against us tonight. I mean, they found some holes. And, you know, they got some breaking balls that they stayed on. I mean, he pitched great except for that second inning. You know what I mean? Where they got the four runs, and then when they got the you know, the infield hit for that fourth run, I mean, that kind of you know, capped it off, you know, for Framber. But he threw the ball a lot better. He was calmer. He had a real good breaking ball. He started the game off throwing well. But you know, that one inning, it was just, and usually, like I've said, you know, one team usually scores more in one inning than the other team does the rest of the game, and that.
Yeah, they had a bloop hit to left. They had the infield single. Again, if Maldonado is not at first base, it was down the line. Maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe, I don't know. But all I know is that he had one bad inning. There was Paw Dusty put out that lineup yesterday. I mean, you saw that lineup, and you're just like, oh my goodness. Did you just not care about this game? Did you just stop caring about this game? Is that it? You guys are all tired? Is that it? They must have been tired, though. Having to play a game in Los Angeles. See, they gave him Monday off instead of giving him Wednesday off. They're in California. All they have to do is go down the coast to play the Dodgers, play that two-game series Monday, Tuesday, and give the team Wednesday off so that they could travel back home, as opposed to it was 1 in the morning? By the time they get on the airplane to get home, it's 3 or 4 going on 4 in the morning. It ain't easy getting all those guys together, getting on the airplane, getting back, equipment and everything else that you got to do. So they probably didn't get in until 6 or 7 in the morning, maybe.
You know, I didn't even think about that turnaround for them in terms of West Coast to back home, two time zones, late game that went late.
Yeah.
I mean, it lasted a while. I didn't even think about that. And they played like a team who was kind of sleepwalking through.
But that's kind of dumb by Major League Baseball. And you're playing a night game as opposed to a getaway day game in Los Angeles. You don't get back. I was on Texans trips with them. We didn't get back till 4 in the morning.
But you're not playing.
We played a night game in Seattle. Yeah. We didn't get back till 6 in the morning or so.
Yeah, but you can't play a getaway day game. That should have had a day off.
Yeah.
That should be a day off.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't do a getaway day game with Astros, Dodgers. You don't. Dodgers fans, you want to have it. I mean, Major League Baseball wants a chance to sell as many tickets as possible and have that game where people can watch it on TV. That's a headline game. But to your point, okay, well, then throw an off day in.
Yeah.
Throw
a
travel day
instead
in
of Monday, have Wednesday as their day off when they can get back here, have a little bit of rest.
More of that Astros, anti-Astros bias showing by Major League Baseball.
That's what it is.
Unseal the letter. Unseal the letter. The Yankee letter.
Yeah. Jerks.
Bud Selig.
Yeah, jerks.
You see how I threw Bud Selig into grease for no reason?
I know it.
It's Rob Manfred.
Well, Bud Selig was the worst. He was
worse than Manfred?
Man. I mean, that's a hell of a race right there. Manfred is kind of a scum.
I thought Bud was worse. Bud was just willfully ignorant.
Well, and but yeah, the All-Star game.
Manfred's trying to sneak around like, oh, look, I don't want this stuff to come out. I think Bud was, sometime it felt like Bud was just cool with steroids. Running rampant
Bud
through sport.
Working it so Milwaukee gets out of the American League and puts the Astros in the American League.
And, Bud also
and Milwaukee takes their place.
And the Astros get hit by a hurricane, and Bud makes the Astros play in Chicago and Milwaukee, right? And then they get no hit and one hit because their heads are not in it at all. Like, cool, Bud. Cool story.
Carlos Zambrano, no hit him.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Why were they playing in
We had a...
Oh, that was our home game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And we played it as close to Chicago as we could. That's right.
As possible.
Yeah, I don't know. Bud was pretty sweet.
Bud sucked. Bud, no, he really sucked. Hey, screwing the Astros and putting them in the American League was the in the American League West. That was the topper. Congratulations, jerks. Major League Baseball sucks, okay? That's all I'm saying. Oh, look, Del raised his hands in triumph. Simone Biles returned. She came back to a hero's welcome, by the way, and she won bronze in the balance beam, which I thought she had a near. I don't know. I'm not a judge. I'm not a gymnastics judge. I could be, but I'm not anymore. I used to judge gymnastics, you know, on my own when I was watching at home. I thought, hey, that was pretty good. That should be something. That's something. You didn't fall down. Congratulations.
I feel like I'd be a pretty good Olympic judge on a lot of this stuff.
Especially diving. Have you been watching? Like every
I'm nailing diving.
Every dive looks the same. Every single one.
You're not looking for splash?
Splash. Yeah, splash entry. Is the whole thing.
The entry is the whole thing. Sometimes I'll notice your lines aren't as good as they should be.
Yeah,
that's something that I notice as someone who is becoming kind of judge-like.
Yeah.
With some of my, you watch enough, you do kind of become an Olympic judge.
Yeah, I don't like to watch the men's Olympic diving nearly as much as the women's. I don't know.
Did you see the 14-year-old who popped 2 tens?
Can't you wear a bigger suit or something?
Did you see the 14-year-old who popped 2 perfect 10s in the dives?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, a 14-year-old diver, she just...
Where is she from?
10. Like China.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I know. It's
you know, think? I don't know what it is. I just don't want to look at... teenagers play sports. I don't care. I don't care.
Well, they're the best in the world.
Understood, but it's just
they're not the best in the world. This one,
they're the best in the world.
This one kind of is with perfect 10 dives.
Yes.
And I need to be clear. Teenagers and sports, I don't care about. Like, obviously, I'm watching
like
teenagers. Obviously, I'm watching. I don't care about that.
You care about Bronny?
No, don't give a damn. Wow. Obviously, I watch teenagers play college football.
Yeah.
And college basketball.
Yeah.
But in those sports that come around every 4 years, I don't care if teenagers do things.
Every 4 year sports you don't want.
Like, oh, look, this diver I've never heard of is really great. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Look it. And then look, perfect 10s. Perfect 10s.
Look, the 13-year-old skateboarder.
This diver I've never heard of, which is like every diver in the world.
Ever.
Exactly. So why would I care now?
Except Laura... Wilkerson.
And that's only because we did a lot of pieces here in Houston.
Yeah, she was in studio with us when she was making her comeback. She came in studio, yeah.
All I know is that, I can. When it comes to being a judge at some of this stuff, I think I could do a pretty good job, especially on the diving. I did reference Suni Lee, and the article, the article that was written by NBC Sports, a guy named Michael Augsburger, who is he's the senior writer at Tennis Central. But what he wrote is Tokyo Olympics and Suni Lee's gold medal tweet ask us, do Olympians owe their country?
Okay.
And what he said was,
let's do it on the other side because you're starting this at 7:27.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to it, but it is a shift from nationalism towards individualism. Might win us medals, but will it lose us something equally valuable? Selflessness.
Right.
So I'll get to that article when we come back. Right. It is a very thoughtful article with some arguments on two different sides that I think is worth discussing because I think it has ramifications in sports in general, not just the Olympics.
Yeah. Julia said they got to Minute Maid Park at 7 a.m. That's when they came in.
How are
that
we?
Is the worst.
We should have been on the Twins.
The worst. I know, right? Well, especially if we would have known what the hell lineup he was putting out there. Goodness gracious.
That was
Paul. All right, 728 ESPN 97.5. We'll do what Lance just said on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN.
That lineup needed to be repiped. That lineup, it was too leaky. It had too many holes in it last night.
Wow.
They needed Aqueduct and Billy and his crew to come in and repipe that lineup, because when you have the galvanized steel pipes, which felt like that was the Astros lineup last night, those things, I had this problem at my house, John. We had leaky pipes. I didn't realize that. And the way that we found that out is because my floor started to come up. And what was happening was water was coming through, and we didn't have a water barrier, which I didn't realize either. And it was mixing with the stuff that they had used to to stick down the flooring. And it basically expanded and was pushing my floor up. And, you know, this is why I repipe, and it's all because I had the galvanized steel. My house was built in like 61. This is going to happen to every house in Houston. It's a matter of time.
Yeah, the new pipes, they expand with the water, so they would expand, and you didn't have those problems.
Would have never had that issue.
New pipes, the copper pipes from that time, terrible. So if you've got an older home, you need it to be repiped. How about this thing? In a day, where yours took like 3 weeks to do. So this is Aqueduct Plumbing. They're a new sponsor to the show. Just started this week. For those of you who hadn't heard about them, Billy and Mary are awesome, and you will love doing business with them. You're probably going to talk to one or maybe even both of them when you call. They do an unbelievable job, fair pricing, and they don't charge you to come out. Most plumbers will charge you to give you an estimate. They don't charge you to come out. It's absolutely free. Listen, you've got to trust a plumber. I'm telling you, you're going to love doing business with these people, and you can trust them. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. Aqueduct Plumbing. They're at your disposal.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So before we get to this, Lance, Jonathan Owens, who is a safety for the Houston Texans, he spoke. He is Simone Biles' boyfriend. And he spoke to the media yesterday about Simone and what he was feeling about what Simone, when she had to withdraw and then bouncing back and getting the bronze on the balance beam. And here's Jonathan Owens yesterday, Texan safety, talking about it.
Showing that, you know, there is times when you need to put yourself first, especially if it's a danger to your health, if you're going to go out there and kind of perform for everybody else, you know what I mean? So I was so proud of her that she put herself first, you know, because she could have really got herself hurt if she's going out there and kind of don't know what she had in the air and, you know, how difficult everything she does. I was really proud of her, glad that she made that decision.
So he said, I can tell her, I know her facial expressions, and she wasn't right. She just wasn't right. But he said, and this is about this story, she put herself first as opposed to the team. And this is some of what this story is about here that you were talking about.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just looking here. I wrote up Jonathan Owens. I was like, I think I wrote him up and I was reading. Before we get to the story, I want to say this is why I'm glad that John, that practices are in the morning. He can't get to him, Dell. Because I could just, as he's talking, the only thing I could think about, because no one else in Houston would have the gall. Well, AJ would ask this, but he's gone. And I think John could potentially ask this. Hey, Jonathan, hey, you know, people are asking, what about Simone Biles? Yeah, what's it like to be a Texan? What do you think about David Culley? Back to Simone Biles, blah, blah, blah. And this is what John, what's it like to be with an Olympian? Like, oh, it's great. You know, they're doing stuff for their country.
You know.
Follow. No, but I mean, you know, to be with an Olympian. You know. What's it like to be with an Olympian? You mean romantically?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean,
why do I talk like that? I don't talk like that.
I hear you asking. Yeah, but what's it like? Like, is it different? Is it a lot different?
Is it I mean, because it has been called bedroom gymnastics.
That's what I'm saying. I could have seen him especially in that role. Amy would have come over and put you in a chokehold if she were still there. Right. I get the feeling Omar, who's doing media relations now, is like, John, could you please not ask that line of questions?
I thought the pertinent question would be like, Jonathan Owens, you're not considered a giant for a football player. You're like 5'11", but she's 4'8".
Yeah, so she's little.
She's a little. I thought you would have asked, what's it like to be with a little person?
No, she's not a little person.
Practically.
No, she's small, though.
No, she is. She's very small.
She's small.
Suni Lee is also small, like most gymnasts are, and or like a lot are. And this article is about whether or not we're losing the individualism is costing us selflessness, and is it going to be good for the sport? And I read this, and I thought it was an interesting article, and I wanted to share it with you guys in the listenership because I think we can start to ask this about sports in general. And I don't know the answer. I mean, people are going to have their own opinions, but I think it's an interesting topic. After Suni Lee pulled off a stunning triumph in the women's all-around gymnastics competition, she declared her gold medal a victory for her family, her Hmong community, and herself. She pointed to the larger context of all that brought to her that moment and responded with gratitude, especially for her father, who was paralyzed after falling off a ladder in 2019. Y'all don't need to look at me, but that's what I'm saying. Both of you looked over. I didn't realize that's how he got paralyzed, actually. I read the article. I must have skipped past that. But you see how? Do you see what kind of athlete I actually am to survive a ladder fall? Notably, she omitted America. Okay. Earlier in the Olympics, Lee was even more pointed. Now, once again, this is not a MSNBC piece. This is not a Fox piece. This is a pretty even-handed piece, so I want you to listen. Earlier in the Olympics, Lee was even more pointed. Quote, "We do not owe anyone a gold medal," she tweeted after gymnastics legend Simone Biles withdrew during the team all-around final and the rest of the U.S. women went on to win silver. "We stepped up when we needed to and did this for ourselves." Her comments rubbed many the wrong way, taking it as an indication that she was at the games for herself rather than her country. The American Twitter sphere that demands the U.S. remain atop the gymnastics world indefinitely, as if it were a divine right, exudes the kind of exceptionalism the rest of the world despises in us. It's not fair to athletes like Lee, it's not realistic, and it's not a good look. But neither is dismissing the responsibility that perceptive athletes feel towards the community on whose behalf they compete. A shift from nationalism towards individualism might win us medals, but it will lose us something equally valuable, selflessness. He goes on to say, the Olympics is the ultimate expression of national community representation. And it is. I mean, they have individual meets all the time in world championships, but the Olympics is a different entity. Whether you like it or not, it is. Name another country that doesn't have a phenomenal, and I'm just being real here. Name another country that you don't see that is so proud to represent their country, because like you see it in soccer, Dell, you see it all the time in international soccer. It is a major, major thing for countries, for Argentina to represent Argentina, right? For France to represent France. It's just, and the U.S. is the only place where I think it really has lost a lot of steam. I don't feel that way with a lot of the other countries, but
there have been athletes in soccer who have decided national team duty wasn't for them, and they'd rather focus on their club team.
But the people who do compete, though.
Sure.
The people who do compete, it's a really big deal, because now, granted, we're the biggest, us and China are the two biggest in the world. So, in China, we know, I mean, that's a communist country. They're going to be country first. But here's what he goes on to say. The Olympians are saying it's the ultimate in national community representation. In other words, it's a sporting experience bigger than oneself. Going back to its origins, the ancient Greeks halted wars so that athletes could compete. Sending the best of us to the quadrennial competition continues their vision of peaceful competition, blah, blah, blah. But he said the games haven't replaced warfare with competition as the founders of the modern Olympic movement hoped, but that's the goal we strive for. To get there, our government, the people, sponsors the athletes who participate in the Olympics, while our society as a whole produces them in an astounding display of what our democracy is capable of achieving. To turn our backs on the national effort to make this happen means losing the unifying cause underpinning each Olympic cycle. Without them, nations coming together in peace merely become sole contractors jetting into a major city for work. And it said it also damages the essential bond. Now, listen to this. It also, and think about team sports here in the U.S. It also damages the essential bond between the supporter and the supported. Lee is correct when she says she doesn't owe us a gold medal. She owes herself the best performance she can give. But as a nation, we should still treasure the American baseball icon Joe DiMaggio's philosophy. There is always some kid who has seen me for the first time or last time. I owe him my best. And he went on and talked about it a little bit more.
Okay, wait a minute. But what is SUNY Lee's motivation is to be the best?
He said,
we
don't
know.
For herself.
Then SUNY Lee, I know, but SUNY Lee said, okay, you know what? She didn't owe us anything. She owed it to herself and to her team and to her country to do the best she could possibly do. And if she didn't,
well,
she
you just
didn't.
Said it. She owed it to her country. And all of them.
Right.
And that's his point. If, whatever the case,
we could feel proud for SUNY Lee because SUNY Lee won a medal wearing United States colors.
I'll give you an example. And the athletes who miss out when the focus becomes so individual, quote, it's different when you're representing other people and not just yourself. The Slovak golfer Rory Sabatini, he's not Italian?
Rory Sabatini? Oh, yeah.
That's a huge upset.
No. He's not Italian.
Slovakian. He said, it's different when you're representing other people and not just yourself, said Rory Sabatini after winning silver Sunday in a golf competition capped by an unheard-of seven-man playoff for bronze medal. Even Rory McIlroy, who spurned the 2016 Olympic Games, got into the Olympic spirit. I never tried so hard in my life to finish third, he said to Golf Digest. He went on further explaining, being part of something that's completely different and bigger than me and even our sport in general, that's a pretty cool thing. Now, remember, he's in a sport that is individual, but when it's Ryder Cup and it's country versus country, that's major. I think it's worthy of discussion. When he made the comment, this writer, where he said, when it's less about doing something bigger than yourself, then it really becomes just private contractors, sole contractors who jet into major cities for work. Like, I think there is something right now. I think he hit on something. When the supporters don't feel connected to the supported anymore, and forget for a second the hyperbole of people being angry about the women's soccer team or whatever you think about their political, whatever the case may be. I do understand the concept of, there's a lot of people in the country who think, you know what, they don't like me. They're not out there doing this for country, which I've always loved watching the Olympics for. The Olympics are specifically for country. It's not an individual competition. There's lots of competitions that are for that, but the Olympics are for country. I just thought it was an interesting piece because I think in basketball sometimes, you know, you have LeBron fans, right? And we talked about this. They wear, wherever LeBron goes, I'm going. At Danny Arnold's physical therapy at Plex, there was a guy who was out there who I was working with, and he was a big DeMar DeRozan fan. And he told me, I'm just a DeMar fan. I'm hoping he gets traded I hope he leaves the Spurs and goes, it might have been to the Bulls, which he did. And he just, you know, he made his point that, and he's a guy who is in his late 20s, I think, and he said, I'm a DeMar DeRozan fan. Well, we're seeing a whole generation that are fans of players, and they will jump allegiances with the quickness, and they're not down with the team anymore. And I think that's something, the team aspect is being, fantasy football helps you do that. It helps you get away from your team, and you got players on all the different teams, right? Baseball's still very regional. It's still, you know, I'm not a George Springer fan. I'm an Astros fan. And I think our generations were, you were born into a fanship.
Yeah.
You were born into whatever your dad loved, whatever your brothers loved, you typically were born into it, and it's wherever you lived. Now, it's all up for grabs, and more of it is becoming, especially in basketball, because of the movement, it's individual, individual, individual. I just think something is lost.
I don't know.
When team isn't important anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Team if is important wearing, on the Olympics it, as much.
I don't know. Well, because of the money. I mean, we see how many people are against the men's basketball team and the women's because of the political stuff. We see so much more about these people, know so much more about these people. You know, with Twitter, with all of the news coverage, with watching their games for all of these years, that we get to know them, and maybe we don't like them as much as we used to because we didn't know them.
But I also do think that, but you also can't deny that basketball is more about...
If we knew Ty Cobb a lot better back in the day, you know how many people wouldn't have liked him?
That's kind of, that's a extraordinarily extreme... You're going with, you're back in the, 19 or 1800s? Are we at 1908 or are we into the 1800s?
But even still,
Ty Cobb predated Lincoln.
But listen, and now we know so much more. And Suni Lee's thoughts of, I did it for myself. So I still like that she was an American and won a medal. And at the end of the day, we're going to count how many medals we won.
But you just got excited about the girl who was so excited about being USA.
That. And you know what? That makes her even that much better.
That's my point. When we have, you see how excited people got about that when somebody, because she represents us.
Well, by the way, we're talking about the wrestler that was so excited about America.
The wrestler from Katy.
From Morton Ranch.
Yeah, from Morton Ranch. But. I basketball, no question, has become a me sport. It's a lot less about team. It's more about personal brand, right. Individualism, and all that. I think this is an interesting discussion because an NIL is going to create more individualism where, listen, if you want to get paid, you need to get your Twitter followers up. And that means you need to get on your social media when you're 10, 11, 12, build up your followers like Mikey Williams or whoever that basketball player was who has 5 million followers and got a $1 million deal. And it's not good for team sports. I don't think it's good for the core and fabric of team sports. Yeah. I really don't.
I think it's disingenuous to pretend like the athletes aren't a product of the country themselves. Like, it's not like you become an athlete and all of a sudden you become an individual.
No, that's very fair. We're a greedy, us-first country. No, I 100% agree with you. It is a manifestation of what we see in the country not the greater good anymore.
You don't pick up a basketball and go, oh, now it's all about me. That's something that the entire country is about.
No, you're right.
I'm not going to get into what is currently going on politically, but you can tell people have decided I'm a faction over here, and if the greater good, I don't care about the greater good because it goes against what I believe in.
Greater good is what is best for me now.
Yep.
For people. And it's not really a greater good anymore.
746 ESPN 97.5. We're changing it up. We're going to talk to Sean Watson. The police are looking.
Team guy.
The police are looking for somebody that came out with some stuff about Deshaun. And we'll find out whether or not they find her next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
I think a couple people are missing a point, by the way.
Let's move on to Deshaun. Deshaun Watson, apparently, there's an update from Jay Glazer we'll get to in a second. But Amy Dash put this out. Deshaun Watson update. Houston Police Department has reportedly been inquiring about how it can reach and interview this woman who had an alleged tell-all on YouTube but has not filed a civil suit, according to sources. Plus, I'm told there are zero settlement talks happening. Nia Reese Lewis-Smith was a guest on YouTube personality Tasha K last week. She detailed how Watson reached out to her via private message on Instagram. This is what Deshaun Watson had done. Apparently, that's his modus operandi. And she gave him 3 massages. Lewis Smith says she stopped working with Watson after his behavior became gradually more inappropriate. She initially felt pressure from the salon owner to continue working with the NFL star, but she says she finally had enough after Watson blatantly asked me to have sex with him during the 3rd session. So police are looking for this woman, Nia Reese Lewis-Smith, who shouldn't be all that hard for the police to
find.
They
want to talk to her. I'm not sure if she's – I'm not sure how hard it is to find her. Maybe she just doesn't want to talk to them. But they do want to talk to her.
Yeah, they do want to talk. Did they really have to announce this, that they wanted to talk to her, or just go to her house or something? Well, I'm pretty sure the police can find
her.
Can
you just go to someone's house?
You can knock on the door. You're a cop. You can go and knock on the door.
Or you can call them. Maybe she doesn't want you approaching
her
home.
Or call, or whatever the case may be. Maybe they don't have her phone number, but police can certainly find her address.
If you're a person who didn't commit a crime, I don't know if you would like the police rolling up on you.
Well, there's a lot that happens a lot in investigations.
Understood.
That happens all the time. The police knock on your door and you say and you answer and then you talk to them talk to them.
Yeah, you can say leave me alone.
Yeah. So
can you?
That's how you investigate a crime, a possible crime.
Well, if she's not filing.
You ever watch Law and Order or no?
If she's not filing a complaint.
No, now that's the key. That's the point to this. Would a grand jury, would she be more believable to a grand jury because she's not filing a complaint? When they bring up all of these women who will testify in a grand jury, when a grand jury is convened, if you're filing a civil suit, you have some ulterior motive, which is money. This woman has no ulterior motive. She's not suing. She did talk to a lawyer, but she said she didn't want to have anything to do with this. She's already had death threats. She's talked about this publicly on Tasha Kaye's podcast. So she would be, too, I would imagine, to the district attorney, a more believable witness for the grand jury because she has nothing at stake here. So that the other ones, however, do have something at stake, and they would like Deshaun probably criminally investigated or even charged because it enhances their civil lawsuit.
Right.
So this woman would be actually very attractive to the district attorney if he is trying to prove that Deshaun should be charged. And again, I think they should be able to find her since they're the police. But that's another story. Now, Jay Glazer, there was a story that came out that talks were heating up between the Texans and the Eagles. Pro Football Talk shot that down the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning,
Aaron Wilson shot it down, maybe from the Texans side, yeah. I don't know, but Aaron Wilson shot it down.
Fox's Jay Glazer reported on the network's pregame show yesterday that the Texans are not returning calls from teams inquiring about a Watson trade. He further says the team still thinks they will be able to convince Watson to play for them. Now, is news.
That's the Bucky Brooks corollary, where he said he has no leverage. You can take his money away.
Well, but
you can make him play if you want to.
This is different. This is, we still want Deshaun, and we want him to play for us, coerce him, any of those things.
This is all.
I'm saying.
You know why it's not true? Because they're saying that to create some leverage. They don't want to look desperate. So they want to look like, hey, we don't have to get rid of him. We think we can still convince him to play. This is a ruse just to set up. Because if you look like you have no other.
Right.
If you look like, I think what they'd love to do is trade him this season, is my guess, and get him out of the building. But you can't do that unless you get the right offer. I think the right offer means that you have to have some leverage for somebody to make you a legitimate offer. And right now, if everyone thinks, well, Deshaun wants out of there, he's becoming a pain in the ass over there. He's already missing practice. So, because they've already, they're not answering phone calls. They just said, we're open to discussing trading him. They just said that a little bit more than a week ago, but now they're not taking phone calls. This is all a ruse to be able to create we're not sure that we even have to trade Deshaun Watson, to be honest with you. Yes, you are. You're just trying to say that because you want someone to come with the strongest offer.
As one general manager put it to Yahoo Sports, there are still a lot of unknowns. Everything that has already happened, that's a big concern. But I'm also thinking about what happens after you trade for him. How much more is out there? What don't we know? What happens if you do the trade and then 10 more women surface? Where does it end? I don't know how you can trade for him without some kind of protection for that.
Dude, everything's out there.
Everything.
Every opportunity. If you wanted to get in on a lawsuit, it would have been out there. Rusty Harden intentionally waited. What was the comment that the guy who we had the lawyer on, he waited to turn the faucet off for all the water to come out, and then he was going to turn the faucet off and start addressing all the issues. But you have to wait for everyone to come out of the woodworks before you can start. Everything's out there that's going to be out there.
We sure? Because this woman popped up when she didn't
pop. I don't think stragglers, unless they're criminal, Dale, I don't think they're going to matter. Criminal stuff, you know, that's a concern.
Sure, but if you make a trade, you think everything's settled, and then there's another woman who comes up. Too
bad
by the
for
way,
you. Too bad.
That's
so sad.
That's what they're saying. They don't want to do it. If on the day they get on the day they introduce Deshaun, three more women say, "Oh, he did that to me too." You think they want that?
I just can't believe
you say 1, 2, 3, no backs.
I know
as soon
you're texting.
I just can't believe that there is. Where did dude find all the time for this?
He's got a lot of time.
No, he's
there's 7 days
he's
in a week.
He's got to work out. He had a whole season. When did he? He is tireless in his pursuit of massages and all the stuff that goes along with it.
He's a football player. He's got plenty of time.
Oh my goodness, Deshaun! I mean, didn't you spend any time with your girlfriend? Any time at all?
That's actually a question that should be asked.
Ooh, man, I don't even want to. That makes me uncomfortable just thinking about how those conversations could go.
Oh well, all of this stuff. How in the world?
The thing is, he's not married, so.
No.
You know, there's only so much crap he has to take.
Well,
but, and I'm not saying it's crap. I would be pretty pissed if I were Deshaun's wife, but he doesn't have a wife. So at any point, he could tell the girlfriend, I mean, listen, you don't have to be with me. I mean, you can get to stepping if you want to.
Mm.
But if he really likes her, then he's just going to have to. I mean, that can't go well.
Yeah, I mean.
That just can't go
well. That whole relationship has got to be, holy crap.
Yeah, he really likes her. Even if we limit it to all of it being consensual, he's showing a real, you know, appreciation and respect for her. And like, you know, I really like you. You know, that massage thing, that's a separate thing. That's a separate thing.
That has nothing to do with you.
Well. It does a little bit. Anyway, I don't that whole thing. Holy crap! I don't know what did he have to get her a Vanessa Bryant ring.
They're not married or engaged. Well, do that.
Or something for her to be still
take
hanging
her to
out.
Yeah, take her to Lake Tahoe or something. That'll be.
I mean, holy crap!
Sure, they go on some European vacation and they're fine.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, her theme song is "Stand by Your Man," so I'm sure. I'm sure she's just fine. Well, I got a question
for
you.
Well, now that he can't get the massages anymore, though, man, she's got to be tired.
You think?
I don't know.
You think he stopped getting massages?
Well, I hope so.
I don't know if
goodness
that's real.
Goodness gracious, Deshaun, please don't get any more massages.
Who do you think makes... We know Rusty's going to... You know Rusty's going to make his. Do you think she has found this very lucrative as well?
There's a... Well, she's not married, so once again.
No, but I'm sure she has skeletons she could unleash as well.
Oh, you're saying has she blackmailed her boyfriend yet?
Yeah.
Let's just say what it is.
Yeah.
Has there been a thinly veiled thread of blackmail that's been introduced into their relationship?
Because do you think
It doesn't take much. Like, you know what? If they only knew the things that I know about you.
I
don't like the way that sounds.
Look, as much
people get killed on House of Cards for saying stuff like that.
The unwind with Tasha K was one thing, but from an alleged victim. But if the girlfriend decides to make an appearance someplace and talk about what Deshaun has put her through and what she knows and doesn't know, you think that would go well for him? No. So yes,
I mean not
has
great.
Has she? Look, I got plenty of time. I can do interviews all day if you'd like. You think that has been a discussion? Possibly.
Is she Italian? Because you know that. We like to extort. We like to blackmail.
Do you
and extort.
Think they want you speaking for them that way?
It's 7:59.
You think the phrase extort it needs to be added? See, this is when you know you're in trouble. When you have to start. And granted, it's a radio station and it's a scumbag show. Our show, but when people are discussing, you know, I wonder if extortion has come up in their relationship between him and his girlfriend. That's not. Do you think any? And we're saying it seriously, like. Well, here's an example of how it might happen. But I wonder if extortion has made its way into their conversations.
If I was her, you can get a little something out of this whole thing, too. Right? Right?
Yeah.
8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
On White Lotus, the guy cheated on White Lotus, and then it ended up costing him $75,000 for his bracelets. That's what I just saw in episode 4. Texas Custom Patios. Steven Shell. There's no extortion here. You're just going to love the jobs that they do for you. I want to specifically talk about what they're able to do for you. They can take a standalone. They can build a standalone patio area for you. They can build a standalone pool house for you. They build onto your homes as well, where they were match roofs. Even if you have like a steel roof like I have. It was already on my house when I bought it. They found the exact roofing material, and it's not a lot of it left in Houston. They found it and put it on, and they matched everything to my house where it looks like it was a structure that was built from the very beginning with the home. It's amazing that the work that they do. I want you to go take a look, as a matter of fact, at the patio they built for me. And it's a relatively simple patio, but it's eye-popping. Go to tcplance.com, look at the before and look at the after, and start to notice some of the build-out that they actually did that really gives your home, a brand new pop that is going to add so much value when it comes time to sell that home as well. And it just adds to hours of enjoyment. tcplance.com. And this is the type of work that Texas Custom Patios does on a regular basis.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.